Well, good morning and greetings from New Hampshire. We still have snow in our yard. Don't you wish you had some here? No, thank you. You have the, you have the hot weather in the summer. We have the cold weather in the winter. You just choose what part of the year you stay inside, I guess, you know. It's just a privilege to be with you, and I just appreciate your pastor and the pastoral staff. I got to kind of hang with them at the coffee shop yesterday. I have to tell you that most of my preaching is to teenagers, okay? Probably 85%. And I get a little bit nervous when I get in front of you old people, okay? So I just have to remind myself that you're nothing more than teenagers with wrinkles, and then I'm okay. I've already volunteered to the pastor, actually for the children's church. They have a guest speaker today, Pastor Mazak. He's speaking to the, I asked him, we'll swap if you want to. He said, no, we're good. He'll take the children's church and we'll hang with you. I want you to go to Psalm 119, please. I mentioned this yesterday. We had a little extra time. I love doing word studies, and we're going to do a word study through every word in Psalm 119. We'll be here till the coronavirus is gone, okay? Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How do we help our young people stay clean, stay pure in such a wicked, wicked world? How do you stay pure when you're constantly surrounded by entertainment and culture that is so anti-scripture and anti-God? Wherewithal, how do you stay clean and pure? You know, our teens and kids, they have a rough world to grow up in today. They really do. I personally wish we could still live back in the days of Little House on the Prairie. I do. All you'd have to deal with was like Nellie's attitude. But we don't live in that world. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Look at the next phrase. By taking heed thereto according to thy word, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. When I grew up, my folks split up, and I was actually raised by my grandparents. My grandma was wonderful, a Polish woman, about 4'11", both ways, and she was just a wonderful, wonderful lady. And my granddad, he struggled with drinking and all. He was nice when he wasn't drinking. But I lived with them for many years, and they lived in northeastern Pennsylvania, very, very rural area. So I remember one morning saying, Granddad, I think I need to go explore the woods. He said, no, you'll get lost. I said, not me. I know those woods like the back of my hand. I personally taught Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone everything they knew, okay? I did. I remember saying that to him. Finally, somehow, I talked my granddad into letting me go explore the woods. So obviously, I hit the woods. I was only getting about 9. First thing I did is made a spear. I knew I'd get hungry. I might have to take down a deer or something and eat it. And so I made my spear, and I'm sneaking through the woods. I saw the deer. I remember throwing that spear to try to get the deer. Well, obviously, he runs, and so I'm going after him now. 1 hour turned into 2 hours, turned into 3 hours, and now it's starting to get dark. I've been in the woods for hours. I'm getting, like, really, really scared. I have absolutely no idea what's out there in the woods. I don't know. There could be lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my, yeah. Obviously, I didn't know, but I do know as a 9-year-old kid being lost in the woods, that's kind of dangerous. You know, there's something much, much more dangerous than a kid wandering off a trail in the woods. That's when you wander away from God. So I have a question for all of us. You are church people. You come to this church. You're faithful. Have you ever been closer to God than you are right now? I mean, do you remember the day when you trusted Christ? You could not wait to witness to your friends. The Bible was so exciting, you just every morning wanted to open it up. And when it comes to inviting friends to church, it was great. And you wanted to pray. And everything was so real and so exciting. And then 1 year turns into another year, and we don't witness and we don't invite people to church. And our Bible time with God turns into something like a drive-through where it's quick and fast and easy just so we can check it off our list. Think we're good. How do you keep from wandering? Do you know what statistics tell me right now? I hate statistics. Barna tells me that 60% of your kids in your church, your teens and kids right now, 60% of them, when they leave home, they're going to leave God. Again, we don't have to stick with those statistics. How do we stop that? What is the difference in kids that grow up and go off to college and get in their 20s and 30s and refuse to wander away from God? It's found in one simple little phrase in verse 9, the end of verse 9. Take heed thereto, according to thy word. The phrase take heed means literally to engulf, to surround, to totally wrap yourself up in, okay? To totally surround yourself, almost like making a force field, okay? Now, I get asked a lot after 42 years of being in camping why I still work with teens. Two reasons. Number one, I love what I do. I really do, especially in New England. They don't have what you guys have down here, and so many opportunities and great churches and camps and so forth. So I really, really love where I am. But there is a second reason. As a program director at a camp, we've had for years many, many young guys that come in and work for me 5 or 6 years, and they'll work and be on program and help with all the activities and the skits and the chapels, and then they normally go on to youth pastor, to pastor, they go on to other ministries. Well, me being the wonderful, kind-hearted person I am, we always have a going-away party. But sometimes that going-away party is not always that nice because they get thrown down a water slide or into the lake or even worse, okay? We had one guy, and he had an attitude, I have to say, and he knew he did. We called him Richie Rich, okay? So anyway, he was moving on. He's a pastor today. And so we took him to this real, real fancy restaurant. There was about 8 of us all together. And then when we were finished eating, we were standing out there in the parking lot of the Pizza Hut and just kind of talking, you know. And all of a sudden, he says, guys, because we surrounded him. When we threw him down in the parking lot, I'm serious, I had duct tape with me, and I duct taped his ankles together and his wrists together. One of the other guys brought some of that clingy wrap stuff you put around food, and we made a mummy out of him. We put him in a shopping cart, put a sign on him, we'll work for food, and pushed him in the grocery store right by the checkout counter. We left him there. We really did. He could breathe, but he couldn't move at all. And so we were sitting in a van just looking through the window watching him, and he was moving around. People were laughing at him. Finally, I said, guys, this is kind of boring. You want to go bowling? Let's get Dan. We'll put him in the back of the van, and we'll plop him in the lane next to us. We'll go bowling, have some fun, okay? If he can get out of this stuff, he'll bowl with us. The problem came when we pulled into the bowling alley. We were surrounded by the police, and I did have some explaining to do. But Dan was so wrapped up in that stuff. He couldn't think. He couldn't speak. He couldn't do anything. Folks, wouldn't it be so amazing that we are so wrapped up in the very words of God that we couldn't speak, we couldn't think, we couldn't do anything? You guys have one of the most wonderful pastors that I even know of that studies hard and opens up this word and forcefully lets you know what it says. But how far does it walk out of this building? How do you take what you learned and wrap yourself with it, okay? Well, if you want to know how to do this, let's just study this text really, really good, okay? If you look down at verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Do you notice all the personal pronouns here? In order to wrap yourself up with this precious, precious book, number one is simple. Realize who said it. Say it with me. Realize who said it. God. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. What does inspiration of God mean? God breathed. What does God breathe mean? Inspiration. All right, can I treat you like you're 14? I'm going to teach you what inspiration means. Everybody take your hand right now. Put it in front of your mouth. And repeat after me. Peter picked a peck of pickled peppers. How many pickled peppers did Peter Piper pick? Did you feel that? Did you smell that? Okay, you cannot speak without breathing out. And God spoke. He breathed out these words. And then he asked his friends like Matthew and Mark and Paul and David and Jeremiah and Moses to write them down for us. We have the very words of God, folks. And every single time we read them, we hear him preach, we should just say, Lord, thank you. Help me to believe it. Help me to live it. Help me to love it. Realize who said it. Verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. To wrap yourself up with the very words of God. Number one, we realize who said it. But number two, repeat it. Say that with me. Repeat it. What do you talk about? Now, I've got teens kind of figured out. You know the number one thing that most teenage girls talk about? Teenage boys. You know the number one thing teenage boys talk about? Food, trucks, sports, and finally teenage girls, okay? And I ask kids, what do your parents talk about? Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, Fox News, when I was your age type stuff. Okay, you talk about what you think about, and you think about what you love. So how often do you guys talk about God? Do you share in your normal conversations what he's teaching you through his word? Man, do you text your wife what God's teaching you in your devotions? Teens, do you grab your phone and say, Mom, let me tell you what I learned from Psalm 73 today? Do we talk about the word of God to our families? How about talking about the word of God to unsaved people? I've got some friends in New England that don't live far. They can hear the kids. They can hear the bell ringing. A couple times every summer, I go see my one buddy. He needs the Lord. Shared the gospel with him many times. And I'll go sit around their fire, and he and some of his buddies, and be honest with you, a lot of times they've been drinking a lot, or they might even be high. And I say, guys, they call me the Reverend. Here comes the Reverend. They like me. I say, guys, let me tell you what God's doing. I'm talking about 6-7 people. This boy yesterday realized that he was a sinner, and he asked Jesus to forgive him, and he got saved. Isn't that cool, guys? I talk to these unsaved guys like that. Why not? Think about it. When you go to work, just say, oh, let me tell you what God did for us this weekend. Talking about the word of God. Repeat it. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. To wrap yourself up with the very words of God in our context here, in this portion of 9 through 16, we realize who said it, we repeat it. Number three, rejoice in it. Say with me, rejoice in it. You say, how do you rejoice in the word of God? He tells us, as much as in all riches. Now, I do have the privilege to work as a camp director, and I do get to travel a lot, but to make a little bit of money on the side, I am a representative for Apple Computer, and out in the lobby when we dismiss, we have 7 iPad Airs, and we're going to have a little drawing there. Just put your name, put your address down, you get on a mailing list, but we'll draw, and 7 of you get to go home with a new iPad Air. I'm also a representative for Ford Motor Company. Before we get done, we're going to have about 6 2020 Mustang convertibles coming into the parking lot. We're going to do a little bit of drawing, and some of you are going to go home in your new Mustang. You're shaking. You think I'm lying, don't you? I'm lying about all of it, okay? Now, when I mentioned the iPad, you say, okay, where do you sign up, yeah? Do you know what it's like when you get something brand new? It could be a new home or a new car or a new outfit. You just can't wait to share it with somebody else, right? You rejoice in it. When was the last time that you're reminded of a wonderful truth from the Word of God? And you were just so excited about it. You had to text somebody. You had to call somebody. You had to get with one of your friends and share that truth. Simple truths like God's love is unconditional. He doesn't love you more when you're really, really good or less when you're really, really bad. He just loves you because you're His. That's a life-changing truth. God's forgiveness. How wicked are we? And it doesn't matter how many times we come to Him. He is just and faithful to forgive. Those are wonderful, wonderful truths to rejoice in. Verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts to wrap yourself up with the very word of God. And I trust that you'll teach your children to do this. You do. You realize who said it and repeat it. Rejoice. And here we find you meditate. You concentrate, contemplate. I use the word to reflect on it. Learn to reflect or meditate on the Word of God. Now, as you already know, meditation, which I personally believe is where we fail when it comes to really understanding God's Word, because we're all too much in a hurry and too busy. Meditation, it comes from an agricultural term, to ruminate. How many of you live in a farm? Can I see your hands, please? How many have ever been on a farm? How many ever sang Old MacDonald Had a Farm, okay? Brother Anderson, I'm going to make this real simple. The girl cows, the ones who get the milk, okay? White ones, white milk, black ones, chocolate milk, you get all that, okay? They get up early in the morning, and I grew up working on the farm, and they go out, and they eat, or they eat their grain. And if they eat like at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they get hungry again about 9, 9:30, they don't have to go eat again. They can just take that food. The way God made them, they have different stomachs, and they take food from one stomach, and they burp it back up into their mouth and chew it up again, swallow and put another stomach. They get hungry at 2:30, 3 o'clock. They just puke it back up in their mouth, chew it up again, swallow it again. Ladies, aren't you glad that God made cows like cows and not men like cows? Because we could be sitting here right now, and they're going, how long is I going to go? I'm getting a little bit of hungry. Oh, breakfast. Oh, Honey Nut Cheerios. Boom, bring it back up. All right, we don't do that. But the reason a cow does that is because she wants to get every single nutrient out of that. So we'll take like one of my favorite verses from Isaiah. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou. It's talking about God, okay? So you help me out. Raise your hand and give me one characteristic or one character trait of God that really, really encourages your heart, comforts you, that just means a lot to you. One characteristic of God. Who'll be first? Raise your hand up real high. Yes, sir. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. I can trust a God like that. A God who spoke this world into existence. Yeah. A God who is all-powerful. There's no greater power in all the universe. Therefore, we can be empowered with the strength of His might. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He's an omnipotent God. Somebody else. Another characteristic. Yes, sir.
Omniscient.
He knows everything that we do. He knows everything that we think. I love that passage. I think it's in Luke 7 where Simon thought, if he knew who it was that was at his feet. And it says Jesus answered him. Never think anything you don't want Jesus to answer, okay? He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. Somebody else. Another characteristic. Yes. He's kind. The Old Testament phrase is loving kindness, sometimes translated mercy. And God's loving kindness that He withholds from us what we truly, truly deserve. We are all selfish sinners. We all deserve judgment. And yet our loving, merciful, kind God forgives us. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is kind. Couple more. Yes, sir.
Holy.
He is holy. Now His holiness is not just a sinlessness, okay? Because the Sabbath day was holy. Why? It was different than the other days. The temple was a holy place to worship because it was different than the other places. Jesus Christ Himself, often in scriptures called the Holy Capital O, the Holy One of Israel, because He is unique, one of a kind. No other has ever been born of a virgin. This holy God is a one of a kind. There's no other even that can begin to be as close to as wonderful as He is. He is a holy, omnipotent, omniscient, kind God. Two more. Yes. Patient. In the Old Testament, He uses the word long-suffering. And do you know what that actually means? It literally means to be of long nose, or it means to be of long breath. In fact, everybody right now, take in a breath. Take it in. Hold it. Now let it out. Now think about it. Men, when your wife says something to you that irritates you, mom, when your kids say something to you that irritates you, watch me. Okay, let's talk about this. That's all it takes. And I have to wonder how many times my kind, patient God says, Rand. He is a long-suffering, patient, kind, omnipotent, omniscient God. One more. Yes. He is faithful. He is faithful to us even when we're not faithful to Him, yeah? That's pretty amazing. If we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive. This faithful, kind, patient, loving, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, wonderful, wonderful God, Thou will, there's a promise, keep That means secure, to guard me. Just me? Why? In perfect peace, knowing everything is right between me and God and others. What's the condition? Whose mind is committed or stayed on him? Okay, look at me. You know what we just did for 6 minutes? We just meditated. We were thinking about our wonderful God. We almost forgot where we were, and we were thinking about who God is and how he can be that to us. You guys can do this as a family. You can say, let's study Philippians 2 and then go out to a coffee shop and just sit around and talk about everything you learned from Philippians chapter 2. You can do this as a family. You can do this with your friends. This is part of wrapping yourself up with the very words of God. Meditation. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe. Do you know what the next two words are? To do. How do you do the Christian life? How do you be a loving husband? How do you be a contented wife and obedient children? How do we witness to our friends and fervently pray? How do we do this? Meditate on the Word of God. I'm telling you, it will totally change your life. Look at the end of verse 15. And have respect to your ways. To respect the Word of God is living with the words, yes, sir, on the tip of your tongue. God says, men, I want you to be pure and holy. And you say, yes, sir. Wives, I want you to be respectful and patient. Yes, sir. Teens, I want you to even be an example to your mom and dad and your other friends by being obedient sweetly, completely. I want you to love your friends and tell them about me. Yes, sir. I want you to pray without ceasing. Yes, sir. Respect the Word of God. And the minute we hear it and God's Spirit uses it to convict our hearts, we listen. Verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Again, to wrap yourself up, to completely heed the Word of God, we realize who said it, repeat it, rejoice in it, reflect on it, respect it, and now we take pleasure in, we enjoy, we relish the Word of God. Acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. Let me say that again. Acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. With all the struggles that we face in our world with addictions to some pretty wicked stuff, our goal is not just to get people to stop doing bad things. The goal is to increase their hunger for God and their thirst for righteousness. That is our goal. Because you will realize that the day will come that which you love the most will control your life. Whatever temptation you want to mention right now, I already know what you're going to do 2 years from now. You're going to do what you love. And if you love your God and you love your family, your wife, your husband, your kids, you're going to make good choices. But I'm telling you, if you love you more than them, you're headed for trouble. Acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. Years ago, when we were just kind of exploring the potential of starting a camp in New England, I was doing a family conference in Maine in the middle of February. That's not really smart to do, but we did it, okay? I mean, it's cold. Even the birds wear earmuffs. It's just amazing cold, okay? So we were up there, my family, my son and his wife, and they were doing music, and we went to this one church, and we were preaching, and during the week, the family we were staying with, they said, have you ever had Maine lobster? I said, never have. She said, we're going to have it this week. So I think it was Thursday night. She brings these things home. They're like this big, you know. And I have a pencil and I'm messing around with them. And we're all looking at them standing in the kitchen. And all of a sudden I ask a very stupid question. I didn't know. I said, how do you cook a lobster? I had absolutely no idea. And the lady said, well, you see that pot over there on the stove? We get the water boiling and then we put it inside. I said, you boil them to death? Well, my wife really, really loves animals. I mean, we're the kind of family, if we're driving on a windy road and there's a turtle, we stop the car, get out, pick it up, and put it on the side of the road, okay? So she conveniently goes into the living room, me being the kind, loving husband I am, I stood in the doorway. The living room's here. The kitchen's here. So Amber knew what was going on. And I said, right before she started this process with this lobster, I did. I asked another stupid question. I said, well, do they, like, make noises when they die? I didn't know. I really didn't know. And she just rolled her eyes at me. But Amber didn't see that. So here we go. I said, hun, she's picking them up. She's taking the lid off the pot. She's putting them down into that boiling water. They give us these little forks, and we dipped it in that white meat and dipped it in that low-sodium, low-cholesterol, low-fat butter. And, oh, you take a bite of that stuff. You cannot wait to get another bite, another taste. Do you know what our Bible says? Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. I'm telling you, folks, if you learn how to read the Word and meditate on the Word and wrap yourself with it, you're going to set your alarm for 6:30 in the morning because you're going to spend a little time with the Lord before your day starts, and you wake up at 5:45 and you look at the clock and your first thought is, sweet, I have an extra half hour with God today. You're going to sit down to spend your normal time in the Word, and you're going to all of a sudden get so engulfed in it, you're going to look at the clock and think, oh, I got to go to work. I got to go to school. Oh, I wish I had more time. Acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. I don't even like using phrases like doing devotions. How about spending time with God? The end of verse 17 says, I will not forget thy word. Realize who said it, repeat it, rejoice in it, reflect on it, respect it, relish it. And finally, remember the word of God. Right in the middle of temptation, remember the word of God. Do you know how most of us live our lives? Temptation, sin. Remember the word of God, ask God for forgiveness. Temptation, sin. Remember the word of God, ask God for forgiveness. Let's change this. Temptation, remember the word of God. Obey the word of God and thank God for the victory. Temptation, remember the word of God. Obey the word of God, thank God for the victory. In the midst of the greatest trials, remember the precious promises that God is a patient, omnipotent, omniscient, kind, loving, faithful God. Remember the word of God. I was only 9, and I was really scared. And I remember coming to the edge of the woods to a farmer's field, and there was a farmer actually leaning against his truck looking my way, almost like he was expecting me. You know why? My grandpa knew the woods a lot better than I did. And he knew if I got lost, I'd probably come out a couple miles away. And he contacted his friend and asked if he could wait there to see if I was coming out of the woods. If you've been wandering from God, he knows exactly where you are. And he wants you to come home. So I ask us all once again, have you ever been closer to God than you are right now? One of the most dangerous things we can do in life is to wander away from Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please.